News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Are you passionate about your views?
So is he.
Robert Petillo on People, Passion, and Politics on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
All right, welcome back. News and Talk 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community, calling 404-892-2703. We're being joined now by the Republican nominee for the governor of Georgia, Mr. Brian Kemp. Mr. Kemp, how are you?
Well, doing great. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
All right, I want to thank you so much for coming on. You know, this is the Lions Den where a lot of people won't walk into. I really do appreciate you coming on to speak with us. I know you only have a few minutes with us, but I wanted to hop on a couple hot-button issues with only a few weeks left until the election. How are things out there on the road for you? You know, you're at an event today. How are things out there campaigning around the state?
Well, they've been great. Obviously, very busy right now with just over 30 days. I guess it'll be a month and Tuesday. So getting ready for advanced in-person voting to start October 15th. So we've been on the road all last week on our statewide bus tour and had great energy out there, great crowds. We're just working hard and letting people know as governor, I'm going to put them first over the special interest.
You know, that's so important for us. So for people who aren't registered yet, when's the deadline to register?
So the deadline is this coming Tuesday. So there's a lot of options still left for people. I would encourage them, if they can, to use our online voter registration system, which they can get through the Secretary of State's website, which is sos.ga.gov. You can also download a free mobile app, GASOS, and register to vote right on your phone. And that app actually has a lot of great information for voters. You can get your sample ballot. You can get your precinct location, who your elected officials are, you know, early voting times in your county, wherever you are. Just a lot of great information there.
All right, and so on that same point, you know, we've had a lot of stuff this week, a bunch of press conferences and people saying, you know, Georgia is purging the voter rolls. What is that about and what's actually going on?
Well, I think it's mostly election year rhetoric. We see this, you know, we saw it before. Right before the 2014 gubernatorial election. We obviously saw it in 2016, right before the presidential race, and now you're seeing it again. We do have a federal duty per the law to keep our voter rolls up to date and secure, so we do that. We have a detailed process, which we go through with notifications to do that. But people can also check their registration. If there's any doubt, they can also go to our website or the My Voter page, which is on the free mobile app, and see if they're registered. And if they aren't, they can absolutely register if they meet the qualifications.
All right. And I think that's important to point out because, you know, once you get into election season, people get super hyperbolic, where they're saying, no, like, where they're making it seem that there's grabbing random people, throwing them off the voter rolls. But it's a very important process to not have people registered in three or four different states where they may have lived over the last decade. So you have to clarify that every so often.
No, that's correct. And I would ask people just to look at the facts and not fall into the rhetoric before a political campaign. There's 800,000 more people on the voter rolls now than when I took office. We didn't have online voter registration where you can register to vote 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our free mobile app or on our website before I took office. We've also created a really great program called the Student Ambassadors Program. We're now in over 150 high schools. We have about over 1,500 high school seniors, juniors, and sophomores participating in that program. We teach them leadership skills. We teach them about government. We teach them how to register their peers to vote. And then they get awarded points for doing that or doing community service or volunteering in their elections offices. And it's just been a fantastic program. And there's all kind of different schools and demographics that are involved in this program. And it's really working. The number of 17.5 and 18-year-olds around the state that have registered in the last 3 years has actually doubled. So we're very proud of that, and we continue to make it fair, accessible, and secure regarding elections in Georgia. That's one of the most important jobs that I have as a chief election official for the state. And I know our county election superintendents and our registrars also take that very seriously and are working very hard to get everyone that wants to registered before the deadline so they'll be able to participate on or before November the 6th.
All right, we appreciate that so much. All right, I wanted to shift gears to education reform. This week you announced a $600 million initiative on teacher pay. Can you explain to the people how this will work and how it will help the educational outcomes in Georgia?
Well, I was really excited to roll out our education plan. There's several different parts of it that we've put out the last two or three weeks. Obviously, we've got the teacher pay raise. That's a $5,000 across-the-board pay raise. It's certainly going to be a priority of mine and of the legislative leaders that were standing with us when we rolled that out. 44% of our teachers now are leaving the profession within the first 5 years. And that is causing a lot of problems at the county level and in local communities with our great teachers that are out there. So that's going to help with that. So we're very excited about that. We've also rolled out some good, a good program on school safety. We've got to be able to keep our children safe in our schools. That starts with a couple of different things. Number one, we're going to put a counselor in every single public high school in the state to take some of the burden off the teachers and administrators when it comes to problems and issues that students and their peers are facing inside the school, because a lot of these school shootings that we're seeing are happening from people that are inside the school and they're legally supposed to be there. They've just got issues, whether it's substance abuse, problems at home, mental health, you know, suicidal thoughts and things of that nature. So I think that's going to help our teachers, but it's also going to help our schools. But we've also got to make sure that we're keeping the schools secure from a outside perspective, keeping people that shouldn't be in the school system, from getting in and creating havoc or harm on our students. So we're going to give a one-time $30,000 grant to every school in our state, every public school in our state, to help them secure their schools. And they can use that however they want. It's going to be true local control, so they can use it by putting in technology like cameras or, you know, a communication system. They can put in, you know, automatic locks on exterior doors, you know, monitoring, you know, metal detectors, or use it on personnel. It's only one-time money, but we feel like this will be a good start building off what the legislature did last year, putting $16 million worth of funding in to try to help that happen sooner rather than later. And then we also talked a lot this week and last week about our early learning initiatives. You know, Governor Deal and the First Lady Sandra Deal have focused on early learning, getting folks up to grade level reading by the third grade, which is a big problem in our state. This is, you know, correlates with statistics on folks that are not meeting that standard are more likely to be incarcerated or not be able to get a good job or get the education they need. So we want to build off that, protecting the HOPE scholarship, making sure that we have private pre-K programs available as well as public. That's a big contrast with my opponent. She wants to do away with those tax credits for parents that, you know, give them school choice to put their kids in a private early learning program. And in some communities, that's the only early learning and pre-K programs that are available in certain communities in certain areas. So we're very excited about that as well.
That is outstanding. All right, to ask our question on criminal justice reform, brought in somebody who's personally affected by the criminal justice issues, Ms. Tamisha Burgess. Ms. Burgess, I want to go ahead and ask Secretary Kemp your question. Yeah, on criminal justice reform.
Absolutely. Mr. Kemp, in understanding that prisons and juvenile justice programs and parole services and other corrections programs make up about 5% of state budgets, which in correlation equals to about $56 billion worth of outgoing tax monies. And as that relates to your plans to cut the amount of taxes and taxpayers are paying and that the state is expending, do you plan to evaluate and make tangible moves towards releasing nonviolent or first-time offenders, so to speak, especially those elderly who are not nor have ever been menacing to society? Do you plan to make any tangible moves towards their release to eliminate the state tax income?
First, let me thank you for that question. I certainly am very supportive of what Governor Deal and the legislature has worked on regarding criminal justice reform in a bipartisan manner. I'll be glad to look at additional things as we move forward that you know, many that have worked on that working group have brought forward in the last several years to see if there's more than we need to do. I've spoken to many people on the campaign trail about programs, whether it's work release or, you know, different centers that are available in local communities to let those that are actually still incarcerated be able to work during the day, kind of as a transition type center, which I think would help with employment. You know, one of the biggest issues we have in our state is workforce development. Mm-hmm. So I'm certainly supportive of initiatives like that for those that are incarcerated that want to turn their life around and you know, try to help with recidivism rates. I do think there's more that we could do in that regard. But I also think that we have to allow judicial discretion on a lot of these, you know, folks that are that have been incarcerated many times and don't seem to be wanting to make change in their lives and stopping the revolving door, because it's affecting our families and our communities with these crimes that may be petty when they start but turn into assault and folks moving into being recruited by gangs and other people. And we do have a street gang problem in our state. It's a travesty when you think about sex trafficking and the sex trade. We're unfortunately one of the top-ranked states for that in the country. I want to do something about that as well as our opioid epidemic. So we've got a couple of different fronts that we need to continue to work on, in my belief.
Absolutely.
All right, I want to hit directly on your public safety plan because you touched on it slightly. But as you said, you know, 10 years ago, Georgia didn't have vice lords. We didn't have Latin kings. We didn't have we've had a very small representation of the Crips here. But those things have exploded in the last decade. What is your plan to ensure public safety and combat the rises in street crime?
Well, two of the things that I learned, just quite honestly, being out on the campaign trail, being someone who has had some background, having a law enforcement division in the Secretary of State's office, as well as serving as the Public Safety and Homeland Security Committee chair when I was in the legislature and working with a lot of prosecutors and law enforcement officials. And I've learned that we have a problem. Georgia has become a distribution hub for the Mexican drug cartel. That is driving a lot of the street gang growth and recruitment that we have with children, believe it or not, that are, you know, 13, 14 years old and younger. That is a very scary scenario, very different from when, you know, I was growing up in high school and just before that in the late 70s and early 80s. And that's very alarming to me as a father of three teenage daughters. We've actually had a high school teacher that was arrested for three murders and recruiting gang members in the high school. You know, that shouldn't be happening in our state or in our schools. Parents should be confident that their kids are not being exposed to that. We also have our neighborhoods being shot up, innocent bystanders, many of them children that are being affected or shot in that regard. And we need to work with local prosecutors and local law enforcement to do something about that so we can keep our families safe.
All right, and on that note, we only have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to address faith and family with you because you brought it up. Many people in the state feel that, you know, there's been an attack on Christians in recent years, that any outward expression of your faith somehow meets with a rebuke in the public square. How does your faith inform your public policy positions, and what will you do as governor to ensure that Christians have the right to express their faith just as any other group?
Well, I am a Christian. My wife and I have been members of Emmanuel Episcopal Church here in Athens for many years. I've been there for that church for over 50 years. We've raised our daughters in that church. They've all been involved in Young Life, Wildlife, and in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and have been very involved as well. And I think our morals, values, and our family unit is more important than ever. I know that's certainly an issue in many communities around our state, especially with single parents and grandparents having to raise our children. And I'm going to be one that's going to support that. I support religious freedom. I think that is a fundamental right that our country was founded on. I don't think we need to run from that. I think we do have to be respectful of all religions. And I'll be a governor that will do that and make sure that I lead by example in that regard. I pray often for strength and for knowledge and for wisdom. And I know the Lord has got a plan, and I'm just living it out every day to the best of my ability. And that'll help me as I govern.
I know you're running long time. I want to thank you so much for joining us. You know, it's great that you were able to speak with Mrs. Burgess. Her mother actually was in Troop County, was sentenced to 21 years in prison for a first-time nonviolent, non-drug-related financial crime at the age of 62. So hearing your position on criminal justice reform, I think it's really important for our listeners and for people making their decision, you know, 30-some-odd days from now. How can people learn about the campaign? How can they get in contact with you? How can they send you money?
Well, I'll give you two things. On the campaign side, our website is kempforgovernor.com. We've got an issues page where people can learn more about our policies and plans, and I will tell you that there's a lot of them, so there's a lot of great information there. They can also volunteer and donate. We'd love to add their support and their vote. And then in regards to the voter registration deadline that's coming up in the next 2 days, I would not wait. I'd do that today if at all possible, or as soon as you can, and you can get information on registering to vote or whether you're registered at the Secretary of State's website, which is sos.ga.gov, or download our free mobile app, just search under GASOS, and you can download the free app, and you can register to vote there or check your registration.
All right. Thank you so much, Secretary of State Brian Kemp, nominee for governor. Everybody get out there and vote. Registration deadline is Tuesday. I want to thank you so much, Secretary Kemp.
Have a great afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. All right. News and Talk, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. We'll be back after the break.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.